In the book of Proverbs, and in chapter 18, there is a most delightful little verse. You say, yeah, well, there are lots of them. There certainly are. But I want to pick one out this morning, as the Lord shall enable. And which verse is that? Verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 18, and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Don't you reckon that's a wonderful verse? Well, I do. And I'll tell you why I think it is. And I'm going to do so in my usual way, as some of you have heard me before. You know I like headings, I like alliteration. First of all, I want us to look at the person. Now, I don't know whether you would say spotlighted or spotlit. Perhaps we can have an argument, a discussion about that afterwards. Those of you who are English students, Daphne will probably tell me. Whatever it is, I want us to shine the spotlight on the hub, the important bit of this little verse. And who's that? The Lord. And the whole verse, the veracity of the verse, stands or falls on the Lord. Who are we talking about? Week ago, yesterday, I was at a fellowship day over at Stonham, and one of the speakers, who I particularly enjoyed, actually mentioned the Westminster Confession. And he was a little bit derogatory insofar as he said, well, it goes on for about 300 or 400 foolscap pages. Well, he quoted a little bit of it, and I, in my ignorance, I don't do internet and I don't do mobile phones or anything else, but Daphne very kindly printed this out for me. And chapter 2 of the Westminster Confession starts like this. There is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will for his glory. And so it goes on. I thought, well, what a description. And you know, you hardly started, have you? When you're talking about this most amazing person, the Lord. But I was thinking again this morning as I walked the dog or drove the dog down the lane. You know, the psalmist was much simpler in Psalm 121, wasn't he? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And you know, it's almost a throwaway phrase. Pardon? He made heaven and earth. What, this amazing earth that we live in, with all its incredible complexity? Yeah, he made it. Can you believe that? Yeah, but that ain't the half of it, is it? The heaven. The heaven. This abode. And you know, I was thinking about that this morning, and I recalled the words of the wisest man who ever lived when he was dedicating that temple that he'd built. He said, why, the heaven, even the heaven of heavens, cannot contain him. The heaven of heavens. You know, we know more about our universe today than we ever did. For my own amusement, a little while ago, and I didn't bother, I've got it on a paper somewhere, I decided to work out what one light year was in distance. Well, I don't do, as I say, mobiles, I do long multiplication. And 186,000 miles per second is the speed of light. And I multiplied that by 60, and that's how far it goes in 1 minute. And I multiplied it by 60 again, and that's how far it goes in 1 hour. And I multiplied it by 24, and that's how far light goes in a day. And then I multiplied that by 365, and I got a lot of noughts, I'll tell you. And that's 1 year. And they talk about billions of light years. That's how they measure distance up there. Billions. And I've never forgotten. Somebody said to me, you know what a billion is? I said, yes, it's 1,000,000,000. Yeah, hang you on a minute. You know, somebody explained it to me like this, and I was in the bank at the time. If you're counting pound notes, cool, that's going back, isn't it? If you're counting pound notes and you count one a second for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, how long would it take you to count £1,000,000? 6 weeks. And if you counted at the same rate, how long would it take you to count £1,000,000,000? 132 years. That's the difference between a million and a billion. And they're talking of billions of light years. He made the heavens and the earth. This is the one we're spotlighting this morning. The person spotlighted. But secondly, I'm going to suggest to you here we have a puzzling statement. Why did the writer to the Proverbs not say, "The Lord is a strong tower"? The righteous runs into it and is safe. After all, psalmists said that. Psalm 46, God is my refuge and strength. God is this, God is that. Why the name of the Lord? Do you ever stop and ask yourself questions when you read God's word? It's easy enough to say, well, I don't really understand that. Pass on. No, you just stand and think about it for a minute, as I did. Why the name of the Lord? And after a few moments' thought, because the Lord has lots of names. Lots of names. It referred to early on in Genesis as Jehovah. And Jehovah is a saving name. And I could spend a lot of time talking about the Savior. Jehovah the Savior. But there are other parts to that Jehovah. And I started thinking about them, and then I had to use the old-fashioned concordance and started looking them up. And of course, you remember in the story of Abraham, we read of Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Now, I know it's specific to that instance, but the Lord is a provider. So, when we are in need, we've got a God who provides. You say, is that true? Well, Paul thought so. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Jehovah Jireh. And then, you remember the story of Moses and the fight with the Amalekites in Exodus 17. And dear old Moses was getting old, so Aaron and Hur had to hold his arms up. And as long as his arms were held up, Joshua prevailed, and he eventually did so. And Moses called that place Jehovah Nissi, meaning the Lord is our banner, the one who watches over us, the one who protects us. How many times have we had God's protection, perhaps even never even known it? You will know the story of Daphne and myself in January, the accident, motor accident we had. You know, we could so easily have been killed. Car could so easily have flown a fire, and we couldn't have been rescued. It'd been a horrible death. But it didn't happen. Why not? Jehovah Nissi, the protector, the banner. And of course, there's also that lovely little title, isn't there? Or lovely little statement in the Song of Solomon. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. When you're feeling under pressure, friend, when you're feeling the old enemy is getting at you, that's when you need Jehovah Nissi. Then, of course, in Judges 6, the story of Gideon, we have Jehovah Shalom, the Lord's our peace. O soul, are you weary and troubled? And you know, a lot of God's people are troubled. And you know, the old enemy is very adept at stirring up troubles in our lives. Mental troubles, physical troubles, all sorts of troubles. Jehovah Shalom. And of course the Saviour echoed that, didn't he? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Why? Because his name is Jehovah Shalom. And there's Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. That's it. The sin trouble you? It troubles me at times. Thought, word, and deed. And you know, the old enemy is so adept at saying, there you are, look, you're a failure. You've sinned. You've transgressed. You're no child of God. And that's the time when we need Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness, to remind him, yes, we've got his robe upon us. These are just some of the names. I could then go to the New Testament and I could talk about the names of Jesus. But you know, we'd be here all, well, we wouldn't get to lunch, would we? Apart from anything else. The name of the Lord. Don't you think that's rather special? The way the writer puts it. The puzzling statement. But then, thirdly, the picture suggested. The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. That's it. It's something that is really safe and secure from all alarms. And time again, the psalmist rejoiced in that fact. Do you know, I think if we were to pause now and have a little personal testimony meeting, most of us probably, certainly us oldies, could say, yeah, I can tell you when I had that experience, being able to shelter in the time of storm, run to this strong tower and be safe. And you know, it's a lovely picture. But let's come a bit further in the text. We've got the person spotlighted, the puzzling statement, the picture suggested. But what about the people spoken of? The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous. Now, who are they, the righteous? Well, you know, just recently I was looking at the last book in the Old Testament, and you know, I thought in chapter 3 and verse 16, there's a lovely little statement there that I think encapsulates, you know, people so often say, yeah, well, you know, you're a righteous lot. You think you're always right. Hang on a minute. Now, who are the righteous? I think this is a lovely description. Listen. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before the hymn for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Don't you think that's lovely? Those that fear the Lord, that speak often one to another, and that think about him. Oh, I know righteousness is all to do with what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, and we take his righteousness upon ourselves. But this crystallizes it as to the sort of people that we should be. You know, when I was thinking about this and preparing it, what was it, night before last, I was reading 1 Peter in chapter 2. And in 1 Peter and chapter 2, let me just read you what I read there. What sort of, who are the righteous? Who are those people? Let me, job without a little thing to rest my Bible on. We are the people whom, having not seen, we love. In whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Peter goes on to say what sort of people we ought to be. Verse 14, obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to former lusts, but be ye holy, and so forth. Who are the righteous? These are people who are concerned about their relationship with God, concerned about their relationship with each other, and concerned about their relationship with the outside world. Is that us this morning? Do we speak often one to another? Do we think on his name? I could elaborate on this, but I won't, because we might look at this a bit more closely this afternoon. The people spoken of, and just briefly, the performance stipulated. The righteous, what do? They sit down and wait for God to do work. That's not what the verse says, is it? The righteous runneth into it. That's it. You know, that takes me back to when our children were very small. And we used to play games of hide and seek. And you know, often when the little ones, certainly the smallest one, wanted to be involved with the three older ones, yes, dear, well, you've got to go and hide so you won't get caught. And the little one's standing there, well, go on, make haste and hide, otherwise you'll get caught. The righteous runneth into it. My dear friends, we need, at the first hint of trouble, we need to scarper. That's a lovely old-fashioned word, isn't it? We need to get going. That's right. Because there the Lord stands ready and waiting. And only recently I was speaking on that lovely verse from Matthew where Jesus holds his arms wide open and says, come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, as a performance stipulated, and of course as promised security. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Safe and secure from all alarms. Yes. Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Are we? Do we? Or does the old enemy get the victory? You know, there's no reason why he should. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Have you ever thought about that verse? Now unto him who is able. Why doesn't it say now unto him who will? Because so often we don't run when we ought. So my dear friends, the message this morning is if you get into trouble, put your running shoes on. You say, my running days are over. Mentally, physically, spiritually, don't let them be over. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. But you know, I'm going to give you a little postscript. Just to add a little something, perhaps, that's not specifically in this verse. But I've already mentioned it. And what is the postscript? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And of course, this is a gospel message, isn't it? Those who are sinking deep in sin. And you know, that verse came to me last night as I was going to bed. That was after midnight. I thought, now, where is that hymn? Do you know it? I looked it up and it was in Redemption Hymnal. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the master of the waves heard my despairing cry. Christ my Saviour lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. The name of the Lord, that's where it starts, when we come as sinners to Jesus. But you know, it doesn't stop there, that's only the start. And all through our lives, we need the name of the Lord as a strong tower. Some of you youngsters, perhaps, you'll find out when you get older. And thus, real oldies, I'm trying not to look at Richard and Tricia, but we can tell you, it works, doesn't it? It works, because he is not a disappointment. May God enable us to prove in the coming days, weeks, months, years, whatever he has left for us, prove the wonder of the truth of that statement. The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. So let's